Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Basically, it's Lance and Dell, but still the kings of Houston sports radio, in a way. We are going to be here today and tomorrow, and then John comes back on Monday. I'll be here in studio and then do the rest of the week from the Combine in Indianapolis. And we'll find out about John's little foray to, we'll see if he's in a war-torn country now. I don't know if Ukraine was on his list, but in case you missed it, looks like a little something-something jumped off between the Ukraine and Russia.
I don't know if something is how I would describe it.
Well,
a full-on invasion, I think, is how I would describe it.
I mean, that's a way. In the streets, we say a little something-something is happening.
The streets, normally rockets fly over your head in the streets?
No, not in our streets.
Okay.
When we just talk about
it. Do tanks roll down in your
streets? We talk about it when I'm walking in the neighborhood and somebody else is walking by and the guy says, hey, did you hear about the Ukraine? And I say, oh, yeah, I heard a little something was jumping off. You know, okay. That's right.
That's right. Rockets overhead.
Right. So John's over there, but just he's not that far east. So we'll hear from John. Yesterday we heard from John's guy, Rob Manfred, the guy who runs Major League Baseball, also known as the commissioner. And the Players Association and Major League Baseball met yesterday. And remember, they're trying to get this thing done. They're trying to get everything set up to where they can get the season started on time. Well, yesterday was a bit of some harsh language came out. Major League Baseball is going to begin canceling regular season games at the league and the MLBPA. Can't cut. What are you doing your hand? Why are you doing these celebratory, like, Tiger Woods fist bumps?
If there was grass here.
Like, you just made an eighth, a putt on the 17th.
You know, it's early and there's moisture, there's dew. If there's, like, grass here, I'd slide across like a soccer player after scoring a goal
on
his knees. Yes.
You'd slide through on your knees?
Yes, like Pulisic did before he did his fake gritty. I would do that. I would slide across
my knees. Who did that?
Pulisic. He scored a goal in the Champions League. He slid across his knees. And then he got up and did kind of a pseudo gritty. And then he realized, wait a minute. I'm not sure I'm really good at this. I'm going to stop.
Yeah, you'll know quickly if you try it. My kids have done it at the house. And then I did it. And then we realized, I said, one of us, something feels, somebody's not doing something right. So then
it was all of you, by the way.
The kids went back to the video. That's right.
All of you were doing something wrong.
That's right. It was not, I was the closest.
Sure you were.
But then they have changed it. They've altered the gritty now. I noticed at the Pro Bowl where what it once was, it's now a little different where it's just high knee action.
Well, when Mac Jones is doing it after scoring a fake touchdown, it should end it there. When Pat Mahomes, somebody told him, hey, if you score, you should do the gritty. Set the place on fire. And he went and did it.
And the place went on fire.
Did it.
Yeah, it did. And it's very similar to when the school kids started doing the dab. Cam Newton was doing the dab. And then
what's your excuse?
Once
you're not
America
a school kid.
Got a hold of it, it was a wrap. Now I do it ironically, and I love it because
it frustrates
makes people
everybody.
Uncomfortable. Soon the gritty will go the way of Ja'Marr Chase. And Justin, more importantly, Justin Jefferson will no longer be allowed to
he
do it.
He was at the Pro Bowl. He should have seen Mac Jones do that and go, okay, I'm done here.
Yep, it's probably over.
But back to celebrating the Astros game being canceled. Is that what we're doing?
No, not Astros. We can cancel other people's games. Major League Baseball, if they cannot come to terms by Monday, quote unquote, a deadline is a deadline. And missed games, they're missed games. Salary will not be paid for those games. So if they do not come to a deadline agreement on Monday for a new deal, baseball games will begin to be canceled. Now, you know, we may talk about going from 162 to 160. It may go from 162 to 150. But something's going to jump off if it doesn't happen by Monday. Do you think... And not that you know all sides, but just what baseball has at stake, which which could be, it could be hurting. I don't know that 2, 3, 4 games missing that is going to kill Major League Baseball.
No,
it's not going to be a killer.
No.
Now, I think they would have to miss more than 2 weeks to really start to have people get upset with them. And even then, I don't think you have the widespread range of appeal nationally. I still think there's regional pockets based on if your team is any good or if you're a historically big baseball town. I still think those are the ones that I think it's less likely to hurt Major League Baseball if time is lost than, say, it would have been in the mid-90s. When it's a much more robust across-the-board baseball culture.
I think we're talking, you got to be 25, 30 games in before people are like, what the hell is going on here? Because 2, 4, you're okay, sure, guys, figure it out. But when we start to talk about a month in and there's no baseball when it's supposed to be, mm-hmm. I think then it becomes a problem. But particularly at that point, because you know what's going to happen. If we're still... if we're missing at least 25 games, if that's guaranteed, then you're going to get players jumping on Twitter talking about, hey, we'd love to get into the – when the back and forth start, the fans will get upset because, hey, millionaires and billionaires, figure it out. We don't really care about what you have to say on the issue. Just get it done. Once the social media aspect of it and players talking about, hey, this is just not a fair deal. We're going to stand up for ourselves. No one wants to hear that from them.
No, and – obviously, no one wants to hear anything from the owners. So it is going to, not that the owners typically talk in any of these sports. They just, they're pretty much going to be business. They don't, owners don't go to Twitter to make, I've never seen in my life Jim Crane tweet a lyric from Future as a subtweet towards something else.
I wish he would.
It's just, I mean, it would be interesting. Yeah, it would be interesting if an owner would do that. But so here's the deal. Major League Baseball said we got to do it. 28th is the deadline, and it has to be this way because of health concerns. The league wants 4 weeks of spring training in that neighborhood because they know players have to get ready physically. They have to get ready. You know, as with anything, you have to have some form of preseason or camps or whatever the case may be because guys have to play themselves in shape to an extent. That's just the nature of the beast. The whole league doesn't come in shape. That's just not going to happen. So that's where the sides remain pretty far apart. The union is likely to pull expanded playoffs off the table if players aren't paid a full season salary, according to sources familiar. That's what the league wants, expanded salary so they can get bigger TV deals. Now, here is what, after 13 hours of negotiations yesterday, both sides, or I guess in total, both sides provided tweaks to previous offers, including on Monday, the league added $5 million to a proposed bonus pool for pre-arbitration players. They're now offering $20 million. The union wants $115 million total. On Tuesday, the union reduced its ask for the Super 2 eligibility, which that was expected, requesting the salary arbitration come to players who rank in the top 75% in terms of service time among those who have between 2 and 3 years in the majors, down from the previous request of 80%. It was 22% in the previous CBA. So it's coming down. I mean, it was 22% previously. Major League Baseball players had it at 80. They're down to 75, but they're going to have to come down a lot more. Major League Baseball, in terms of the owner's side, bumping up more into, as you can see, $20 million proposed bonus pool for pre-arbitration player. The union wants $115 million. That's a difference of, if you want to do the math on that, $95 million. So, yeah, they are pretty far apart. They're giving on certain areas, but they're not giving a whole lot.
You get like a warm feeling in your pants because you're talking numbers right now and you're a numbers guy.
I'm a numbers guy, yeah, it helps, but not these kind of numbers.
Oh.
Because if there's anything that a numbers guy loves more than anything, it's baseball. It's mm-hmm. launch angles. It's spin rates.
Oh, okay.
What we love more than anything is VORP, WAR, WAR Plus, VORP Plus, FIC, FIC Plus,
FIC.
FIDO.
THICC?
No. Well,
baseball. I don't see baseball guys loving.
Come up with a thickness rating in baseball.
I don't think baseball
Jason
guys.
Jason Jennings would have been
George Springer
super
does.
High.
Well, he's a different type of baseball player. I don't know if baseball players love THICC.
Jose Abreu has got a thick rating of 12.5. He led the league even in with minimum pitching appearances.
I'm not.
So does Martin Maldonado.
I'm not suggesting.
You've got some.
No, I'm not suggesting that baseball players aren't thick.
Kyle Tucker, one of the league's worst.
I'm just saying. I don't know if they're into thick like other players would be.
D. Strange Gordon has the lowest thick rating.
Yeah, that's the lowest. The Astros do have some high, some low, but numbers guys love baseball. We love baseball because there's so many. We can do so much with the. We can take a number and turn it into 10 numbers.
I know that.
You know what I mean? Like it's like giving us a piece of fish. If you give a chef, a piece
you're like
of
Jesus.
Fish.
You multiply?
No. Not like. Well, I mean, there is some multiplication that we do take one data point and turn it into multiple data points. There is that. Well. But I was going to say like a chef where he gets an entire whole fish and it can turn it into multiple different dishes and meals. That's what. We numbers guys, also known as the analytics people, this is what we do in baseball. We can tell you how many runs you can save. You don't even have to play a game. We can tell you, this guy will save 0.64 runs a game. We can just tell you that.
Wow, that's impressive.
Based on some of our numbers.
Well.
So, yeah, we need games to be played, actually, for us to be able to give those projections.
So the start of the regular season.
I don't think this is going to. I think
April
1st
was supposed to be the start of the regular season.
It's not going
to
happen. They're just too far
apart.
When
do you start really caring? Like we know we're going to find out how many games we missed before April 1st.
Well, no, I think a couple games in.
So you think a couple games.
A couple games. I'm sorry, a couple weeks.
So if there's not a deal done by, let's say, March
1 5th. 1 month. Well, okay.
Like if a deal's not done by.
It annoys me. I'm annoyed. Okay,
right
that's
now.
A good question because I'm having to think about it. I'm annoyed 2 weeks in. I'm concerned a month in.
Because a month in would be.
This doesn't feel like enough to shut down a bunch of baseball.
Because they want at least a month to get ready, right?
Well,
that's
our
the deal.
Season doesn't. Our season being baseball, people who like baseball, like me and Tyler, we don't. Like, the Astros are good. So we don't. Like, the city of Houston, it'd be one thing. If this were a basketball lockout, I'd be like. If it were football, you'd be like, we were rebuilding anyway, except that you want to see the games.
Yeah.
With baseball, this is a window of opportunity that is open for the Astros. You don't want that to get screwed up in any way.
So the timeline
to get a little concerned at a month.
They want a month to get ready, right? Is that the deal? So
Major League Baseball said, we're taking a month to get ready.
Okay, so 2 weeks from now.
They could shave it to 3 weeks.
Okay. But if 2 weeks from now there's no deal done, that means games won't begin at a minimum until April 15th
mid-April.
Or so.
Yeah.
So
I would say, like I said, they're saying 4 weeks. I could see them cutting it to 3 weeks.
But so you get a note. Let's say it's March 12th and there's no deal. Then you're upset. Because right now you're annoyed.
Well, I mean, now that you're throwing the caveat of having that bumper, of having a three-week bumper, because then you are into... Well, so no, it's still the same with me. If you get a month in and you don't have a deal, then we're talking basically 2 months of baseball are done. No, that's not good. It's terrible. Maybe for you and your Marlins, you're fine with it. But
I'm not
for us.
I don't
the
mind.
Astros.
I don't mind the Marlins.
Who do you?
One way or the other.
Do you claim L.A. or Florida? Because I know you claim either coast, depending
that's
on which
not
team's
true,
a good team.
True, actually, I'm a Californian through and through. But
are you a Rams guy now?
No, but as far as the teams I root for, they're all. East Coast.
You're a
Californian
through and through, but you're a Miami. That's just not true.
Yes, it is.
You're an East Coast sports guy, and
I'm not
a Californian through and through.
Florida's not considered the East Coast. I know it is geographically.
It's literally on the coast.
I understand,
of the
but
East.
No one thinks of Florida as the East Coast. No one thinks of Miami. Oh, you're an East Coast sports fan. No one thinks that way.
What? But you're not on the West Coast.
You're right, because I don't.
If you're a Californian through and through, you literally cheer for all Miami teams.
That's
not
what
true.
That's what I grew up. That's what my dad did to me.
Man.
I'm not a Florida
a
man.
Florida man. This is why you're starting claiming California.
You can't call me a Florida man.
It's during the great basketball revolution of 2011.
In total, I've only spent like if you add summers and the 2 years when I was a kid, probably less than 3 years there total.
Where?
You can't call me a Florida man.
But you're a Florida man.
No, I'm
all
not.
Your teams are Florida.
I root for Florida teams. That's what my dad did to me. He was a Dolphin fan. He was a Canes fan. That's why
it's been about 11 years since bath salts first jumped into the. First time I heard about bath salts, 2011. Man, Florida, your state, your home state
look,
is
I don't
doing
mind,
some great
I don't,
things.
I don't mind you throwing that shame on
psychotropics.
Me.
Psychotropics.
I just know who I root for, and if I identify as something, are you going to tell me how I identify? Is that what you're doing?
You identify
as a Californian.
As a Florida man.
No, I don't.
You don't identify as a Californian.
No. you know, I'm going to wear a shirt that says Protect Florida.
You're coastal curious right now.
I'm not at all.
You're coastal curious.
Protect Californians at all cost. That's the shirt I'm going to wear.
You're going to wear a wristband?
Yes, that too.
Protect Dell at all costs?
No, not Dell. Californians.
I'm going to say Dell.
That's
fine. We're going to make you. Hey, protect your pocketbook at all. Do we say pocketbook still?
Is that a thing? Who has one? Did you ever have a pocketbook?
No, I think grandmas have pocketbooks. They go in there. They've got dollar bills folded up multiple times, like eight times the dollar bills folded up. And then they take it out and they give it to you. You go get baseball cards. That's what a pocketbook is. Now, I can tell you, my grandma, and we didn't call them Mama, Meemaw, Peepaw, none of that stuff. We just called them grandmas. I would want my grandma to have the very best plumber out there. I wouldn't want somebody ripping my grandma off. I can promise you that. If I had a plumbing company rip my grandma off, both of them have passed. But if they had ripped them off the way that I got ripped off 2 years ago, oh, my gosh, it would have been on. And there would have been a little something going on in the streets like we talked about earlier between me and that company. And I got ripped off. And so one of the great things that happened last year was we found Aqueduct Plumbing Company. And turns out they're listeners of the station. Also turns out they're great people. The owners, the owner is the owner and his sister are here to take your phone calls and get crews out to your house. If it's a major job, like you need repiping under your house because there's a leak, they'll do it. They do hydrostatic testing to tell you if you do have a leak. They can snake your drains to get out whatever's clogging the drain. Major leakage, minor leakage problems at a faucet in the shower, somewhere behind the wall. They do all these things. So whether it's a major issue or a minor issue, they're there for you at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Go to thebenchplumbing.com. It's a company that you can trust. They get the work done quickly, and they're affordable. And I can tell you this, having a trustworthy plumber is a big deal. They won't rip off your grandma either. That's on everything. TheBenchPlumbing.com, TheBenchPlumbing.com.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Golf Course Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, it's officially one of the biggest days of the year, and unfortunately, John Granato is not here for it, and I really mean that. This is truly an unfortunate time because this is a year where Gilbert has, in the past, received bikes. Mm. He's received bike seats. He's received different gifts and whatnot. And Christmas, John brought $1,000 in cash to Gilbert for a Christmas present. Of course, Gilbert was fighting through some difficult times, and we were very happy to help our old friend out, friend of the show for 20 years. At one point, John had him. It wasn't Christmas because it wasn't his birthday because it was sometime during the, I think it was during the summer that John got a trip scheduled to Minute Maid Park where Gilbert actually met and kind of interviewed Roger Clemens. Basically, just
that
asked him
still
some
on
questions.
YouTube. I saw. It's still on YouTube. Watched it the other day. Yeah.
You can. How do you? What's the best way to search that?
I think just because
I put it out there
Astros,
on Twitter. That's probably where
like
you
that.
Saw it. I think it's that Gilbert Roger Clemens or something. Yeah. Maybe 1560. So let's get Gilbert in here. Gilbert, happy birthday, buddy.
Yeah, happy birthday, Jim. But how you doing today?
Doing good. So Dell is in here for John. Do you remember Dell?
Yeah, Dell. How you doing?
I'm good, Gilbert. How are you?
Fine.
Great. That's great.
You know what? I went for my birthday is a long sleeve shirt for the Rams championship.
All right.
Lance?
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to crowdfund this thing.
Hold on. Gilbert, I mean, we can't provide you with the T-shirt immediately, but would you like a Super Bowl keychain?
A Super Bowl what?
A Super Bowl keychain, an official Super Bowl keychain. Would you like one of those?
This is 100%.
And then we'll
yes.
get you the shirt?
No. How about in lieu of the shirt?
No.
Would you like
it's
a Super
Bowl? It's his birthday.
Bowl? He 100% wants the Super Bowl
Would
keychain.
You like a Super Bowl keychain?
What is that?
You don't know what a keychain is?
What?
It's a matter of choose.
It's a keychain.
You don't know what a keychain is?
Yeah, I know what a keychain is.
Well, it's a Super
okay.
Bowl
no,
official keychain.
No, you do know what a keychain is, right?
Right.
Would you like one from the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you get one?
Yeah, we have one on site right now. You want to come up here and talk to Lance? He'll give it to you.
He can't.
No, I can't go up there. No.
Lance, would you like to go? Oh, that's sad. Would you like to go to his house?
You know what? Let's wait till John gets back. He
well,
knows
John
where you
will.
Live.
John will give you the keychain when he's back.
He'll bring you the picture of him and Wendy, or Wendy only, like I think.
Yeah,
you wanted.
Yeah, me and Wendy. Yeah.
Yeah, just Wendy.
Did you want? Did you want
back anyway?
When is John coming back?
Well, hold on. John comes back Monday. Did you want a picture of John and Wendy? You, John and Wendy. You and Wendy, or just Wendy?
That's what I want. Anyway.
No, which one?
He wants all three.
You want just you and Wendy?
Well, I want to take a picture with John and Wendy. That's what
you,
I want.
Okay, he wants to take a picture with John and Wendy.
All right, and so, he can bring over the keychain.
Yeah, so Wendy has to go as well. Someone has to take a picture.
She is a president of a major media company here. I don't know if she just has time to
She can go to Prague, but she can't go to Gilbert's house?
Point. Yeah, that's a good point. It takes longer to go to Prague than to Gilbert's house.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we can. But we've got the keychain, Gilbert. Well, let's do that. Either that or we just set up like a whole registry.
But what
of
about
gifts
his
register for gifts from like NFL shop? And then people have to get him the gifts and it's sent shipped to his
Gilbert,
house.
Do you have a wish list on Amazon that we can just like you can?
It's
just,
actually not a bad
idea.
I don't.
You can make a wish list and people can just buy stuff and send it to you.
If we set up an entire registry of gifts for that Gilbert picks from NFL shop, would our listeners buy him and send him? And
they brought cash to him.
Okay, but then if it happened, would you never ask for anything again, Gilbert?
No. What kind of question is
that? No, I won't.
You won't ask?
So he said he won't ask. So you've had thousands of dollars, a trip to Minute Maid Park to see Roger Clemens, free food, two different bikes. There's been a lot of things over the years. Would this end it off? We set up. Is the keychain going to end it?
Not the keychain.
I got to try that first. Is the keychain going to end it?
Yeah. If I took a picture of John Wendy out of my house, I'll end there everything, okay?
He wants the picture, the keychain, and do you still want the Rams Super Bowl championship long sleeve t-shirt?
He doesn't want that anymore.
Let him answer. Do you still want that, Gilbert?
Yeah.
See? What are you talking about?
You knew what the answer was.
Let the man answer. You're answering for him.
Watch this. Do you also want a sack full of egg rolls from China Garden?
A sack? Who gets egg rolls in a sack?
I wouldn't want that.
Do you want a paper sack full of egg rolls?
I don't know yet.
He's not sure about the egg rolls.
He's sure.
Gilbert, would you rather have unlimited egg rolls? I can't promise you that, but unlimited egg rolls or the picture with Wendy and John at your house?
That's a good
Wendy picture of me, Wendy, and John.
It's been something that you've been after for a while, so... We got to make John make this happen. So, I mean, make John
Gilbert
do it.
You are focused on this picture. How do you want it set up? Do you want to be like the sandwich meat where John and Wendy flank you? Do you just want want to be on the
Gilbert
side? How do you want? Do you want to stand next to Wendy
or Wendy in the middle?
Do you want Wendy in the middle?
I'm in the middle with John and Wendy in front of me.
John, Wendy in front of you, and you're in the back.
Wait, you
I think
want
they're both like taller kneeling than you?
Down. Wait,
I'm in the middle.
Do you want it side to side, or you want
Gilbert middle?
Do you want John behind you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Gilbert middle. So, okay. I can't promise you anything on that. The keychain thing. I tell you what. Let's do this. Tyler, get his address off the air.
Is he going to give it to Tyler?
Yeah. I 50-50 coin flipper. But give your address
to
Tyler.
John has his address already.
No, but I want to mail it.
I know.
Well, John knows where he lives. I don't know if he knows his address. You know what I mean? Sometimes you know how to get somewhere.
Yeah, you know how to get somewhere.
Okay. Gilbert, can you give Tyler your address off the air?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. We'll get this keychain mailed to you, and we're good. And then
no, we're not.
He
wants
all
other
debts
stuff.
Are paid.
He wants other stuff
all
too.
I don't know how we incur these debts, but all debts are paid.
Well, you better
get
him that.
Except the picture, and that's on John's ticket.
And he still wants
separate checks, please.
You
separate
owe him
checks.
A Rams. Long sleeve Super Bowl championship t-shirt.
Keychain. I've got a keychain.
No,
I owe him a
keychain. I've
key
got
chain.
A keychain.
Do you?
Yes.
Is it in your area?
Yes.
Is it in your car?
I don't know if you've heard. This entire place is
you
my
take
area.
It back.
Yes.
All right, Gilbert. We'll get you a Super Bowl keychain.
We're going to hook you up with at least a keychain and probably a picture
now,
too.
He loves Super Bowl.
Thank you, Gilbert.
Stuff.
He does.
Thanks, Gilbert. Happy birthday, buddy. You going to do anything for your birthday today?
Yeah, it is my birthday, yeah.
Are you going to do anything special?
Do you get like a special dinner on your birthday?
Not really. You know, I'm just going to stay home, stay warm.
That's a good idea.
All right.
I wish I was doing
that.
Does
your mom cook you anything special? Like, do you have a request?
That's okay. Bye-bye.
No, we weren't. Okay, well, wow, I guess that was too personal.
I would make a request.
Yeah, it's your birthday. What do you get? What do you get on your birthday?
Well, so 3 years ago, I wanted my wife to make greens.
Greens?
Yeah, like collard greens.
I know what they are. I'm just surprised that was your request.
I don't know. I just really wanted them. And so she looked up a recipe. I think it was Paula Deen.
Do you?
Mm. It was great. Oh, you don't think Paula Deen can make some greens?
Ah.
It was some type of, what was it? I think it was like chicken fried steak. Or no, it was some type of, I don't know what it was. It was like a chicken fried steak, greens, and I had a little bit of, I want to say, a German chocolate cake. And it was really good.
Did you
send that
picture?
I was like, wow, you killed it.
You send that picture to all your black friends? Are like, see, look what I'm doing.
I posted it on the internet. I'm like, for the culture.
Did you?
Yeah.
Greens and chicken fried steak.
I love, you know who has great greens is Ragel's. Barbecue.
What?
Fantastic
they do?
Greens. Yeah. The guy who, you would not be as surprised if you saw the guy who runs the register. It's his recipe.
Okay. Well,
you'd be less surprised. And I had a little hot sauce in. I figured out that I find things much less spicy than some other people do. I never was.
Same.
Like, I love adding Cholula, which is not really that spicy to me, but Frank's hot sauce. I don't like Tabasco. I don't like the flavor of Tabasco.
No, I don't like it either.
Tabasco doesn't taste good. Like,
The Chipotle Tabasco is the best guy.
I like Chipotle Tabasco, but the basics, I'm out on that.
And they have a cayenne garlic one.
Oh.
It's actually really good.
Well, yeah, now,
Cholula,
you throw
though,
garlic in something, it's a little better flavor. Yeah, but Tabasco,
basic
to me,
Tabasco.
Like, what is this flavor? This flavor sucks. But Cholula, I'll fire that on everything. Cholula on some eggs, forget about it. Cholula on some roasted potatoes with cheese and bacon.
Now you're just talking about things you like to eat.
Well, I mean, it's like it's my birthday.
This is his vehicle for talking.
I know.
About
I've been juicing. Trust me. Yesterday was my first meal in my first meal in 96 hours, 100 plus hours. I had a beet salad with some falafel downstairs at Burger Chant, and it tasted like the best. It had pistachios, goat cheese, beets, and falafel, and it was like the greatest thing I've ever eaten
before.
If you don't eat for 4 days,
whatever you have
is the greatest food ever.
What are you, from Oregon with this?
No, I just did juicing. I'm getting myself right.
For
me
what?
Me and Aaron Rodgers are getting ourselves right with our cleanses.
Mm. You and Aaron Rodgers the same, I guess.
Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, when we come back. Now, we've got Huey Jennings. If you missed Huey Jennings, we're going to do that at 7:45. There was a player named Huey Jennings who we had never heard of, and he somehow came up on the show a couple weeks ago. And we've had people reach out and ask about that because it was not separated in the podcast. You'll finally get to hear it at about 7:45. When we come back, we do actually have some Aaron Rodgers news. I think Brian Gutekunst, the general manager for the Green Bay Packers, is maybe not being honest with himself.
And can I say that I think Aaron Rodgers is now worse than Brett Favre?
Yeah. Absolutely. We'll do that in 2 minutes. 7:30, right here on the bench.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. I got to double check this. I think we are actually going to. We may not be doing Huey Jennings until the 9 o'clock hour because believe Zion Johnson, who is an offensive line prospect, who the Texans could be looking at if he is in the second round, guard prospect out of Boston College, may be joining us at 7:45. So we'll see. I think he actually is going to join us today. Now, as I mentioned before, yesterday, Brian Gutekunst. So you have the sound ready, Tyler. Aaron Rodgers, he came out yesterday and said, I never told Aaron Rodgers, we never said we were going to trade him. We had a discussion about different stuff. Here's exactly what he said. Now, I feel like he's dancing around this. Those are some hypotheticals that I don't think we're going to go down these roads right now. Someone was asking about a trade. And, or he said, what do the Packers do if Rodgers decides he still wants to play in 2022, but not for Green Bay. He said, we're not going to go down that road. He said, it's been widely speculated that the agreement they had to bring him back was that he would be traded if he wanted to in 2021. Brian Gutekunst says, that was not something I told him. Again, I think the whole conversation with Aaron last season before he came back was that regardless, at the end of this past season, that we would sit down as a group and we would work it out one way or another. Well, one way or another means trade is potentially on the board. So you can say what you want. Now, what happens if the Green Bay Packers were to lose free agent Davante Adams if they didn't tag him and Aaron Rodgers? Then what happens?
We're going to feel a competitive team regardless. I mean, you know, I think we're the Green Bay Packers, and I think we have a really good football team in front of us. Again, those are elite players, and whenever, you know, you have elite players, you feel good about that. And you may have to do things different ways if those hypotheticals come into play. But, you know, we'll see where it goes. But I like the nucleus and the core foundation of our football team.
I think I speak from experience of living in Houston, and I can tell you, if you lose elite players, i.e. James Harden, i.e. DeAndre Hopkins, when you lose elite players, you do not continue to still be a good team.
Nah.
Unless you're the Astros, who have withstood
multiple elite players.
But if you lose Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, you think you're still a good football team?
Nah, Valdes-Scantling will lead the charge.
Valdes-Scantling, Jordan Love to Valdes-Scantling. Not getting more than 8 wins at most.
Yeah, the Packers are, the way as we see them, are done. I mean, unless they have unearthed their third consecutive Hall of Famer, which would be unprecedented for...
You think Aaron Rodgers, though, is... So Brett Favre, for those who don't remember, Brett Favre used to be... It was... Now, part of this was on Favre, and part of this was on ESPN, because ESPN... This is what... ESPN, we know, is famous for beating topics to death now. They are the topic-beating machines because they have more... they have more of the opinion-based shows now, so it's the same topics over and over. Like, I'll give you an example. Right now, the topic du jour is there's Aaron Rodgers. There was LeBron versus MJ. That popped up for 2 straight days. Rich Paul said something about LeBron's gone through more adversity than Michael Jordan. Okay, that was the whole topic for a long time. But one of the very first ones, even before Tim Tebow became that guy, because Tim Tebow was that way, it was Brett Favre. Brett Favre watch, where they would have Pedro Gomez outside of Brett Favre's house or whatever. They're waiting. What is Brett going to do? Is he going to retire? Is he going to go somewhere? Is he going to the Jets? Is he going to the Vikings? We were on Brett Favre watch seemingly every single year in the offseason. And it was so, like, we couldn't get rid of Brett Favre as an entire sports community.
He was a boil?
Well, he was just always, even when he was at the end of his career, it was just, there was a Brett Favre topic all the time.
But at least the Brett Favre stuff is about football.
Like, yes.
Everything, if Aaron Rodgers was simply making a decision about whether he wanted to play again, I'd be okay with it. But there's everything. He has an opinion on everything, which is funny me saying that considering what I'm doing. But I don't care. And it's not.
You're just telling him shut up and throw the ball.
Pretty much.
Yes.
Or shut up and lose the...
But you see how that could be construed where people could say, why can't Aaron Rodgers have an opinion if LeBron can have one?
I don't think of them as the same. That doesn't compute to me like I need everyone's competing and, oh, well, this guy can say something. I don't want to hear from LeBron either. Honestly, I don't want to hear from anyone.
I don't really care either way, but I think what the thing that got it for me is that this whole creating the drama with his post on Instagram, that was very much Deshaun's future lyrics, where it's like, oh boy, here we go. Now we're going to create something where you're not sure what they're saying. Like, if you got something to say, and then he comes out and says, oh, I was just on a cleanse and feeling very grateful. And like, that was such a diva thing for him to do. He knew what he was doing.
You get into weird spaces when you compare, but it really sounds like you're taking a shot, but I guess I am. Is Aaron Rodgers like a 15-year-old woman or girl? Like, this is the stuff that people like. When young people are trying to make a
some
point to their friends.
Some people are addicted to drama.
Yeah. Is he a person who thinks to himself, you know what, I haven't made a lot of news today. Let me use a social media post to create something. Because this is what, I've been watching television my entire life. And this is the exact.
Feels like something you see on a
teen drama. Like, oh, I gotta.
If Saved by the Bell actually had a true reboot, would this be one of the storylines where Zach in high school says something on a, like, he's not sure if he's going to play anymore for the
Bayside?
For
Bayside football, high school football.
Or maybe if it, yeah, because he'd be Zach. He wouldn't be Slater.
Yeah. I don't understand it. Maybe I'm just, because I don't really care about social media, so it's all foreign to me that you need to take the social media to make a post about living, like,
you
the best times of your life.
You do realize you're a millennial in a millennial group, right?
Yeah, technically. I'm at the high end. Yeah, but it doesn't make any sense to me he had to run to social media to have a comment about thinking about all the great times he had.
You could do it after you retire.
Yeah.
And you could have a post after you retire if you want to.
And Aaron Rodgers, as much as I'm kind of done with him, he's not stupid, so he knows what he's doing.
No, he's actually very smart.
Yeah, so he knows what he's doing, and then he comes down and goes, guys, I was just feeling very blessed.
Guys.
Stop it.
Listen, I know there's 137,000 viewers on my friend Pat McAfee's show right now, his live YouTube show, and that this is going to bring new eyes to his show, which will help his sponsorships. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, the cynic in me thinks that some of that was played out. I said yesterday on the show, Dale, that I think this was, when you heard his comments, I truly believe one of the things he's doing is creating an uncertainty so that he can leverage Davante Adams into a long-term guaranteed deal with the Packers. Or that he prevents him from being tagged.
Yeah, we talked about that on my national show yesterday.
Uh-huh.
We talked, yeah. Well, uh-huh. You were mentioned. I told Lance during the break he was mentioned on the national show because we were talking about his mock draft. So, look, whenever you want some headlines, you let me know and I'll mention you on the national show.
Okay. Fine.
So, we were talking about this and what it means for Davante Adams. And is Aaron Rodgers just playing a game where he goes, look, guys, if I'm the make sure Devontae's taken care of, and then I'll come back.
Like, he mentioned Davante Adams, and so I feel like he's strong-arming the Packers so they don't franchise tag him, because he specifically mentioned something about a franchise tag.
My biggest insult to Aaron Rodgers right now would be, like, you would be a perfect fit on the show Euphoria, which is a show about drama and high school kids. He would be perfect on that show. Like, he wouldn't even have to play the adult on the show. He could just, like,
I don't know if I want to spend time. I haven't decided if I want to start. There's so many shows now. This Inventing Anna, I may start watching
that.
I'm watching a Japanese show but I'm only two episodes in. Nothing's hooking me. And then all of a sudden I see Marvelous Mrs. Maisel's coming back. Mm-hmm. You got Better Call Saul is coming back soon.
Have you watched Jack Reacher?
No.
Pretty good.
I'm not doing Jack Reacher. It's just too much.
It's a lot of.
Or is it the same as Jack Ryan?
No, it's. No, it's not.
Is it a cartoon character?
No,
is it DC?
No, it's based off books. You know, the Tom Cruise movies, except they actually use the guy who's like 6'5", like the actual book character is.
If it's John Cena, I'm out.
No, it's not John Cena.
Is it the other wrestler? What's his name? It's in all the movies
Roman
now?
Reigns?
No. The other one is
The Rock?
Yeah. Not The Rock. Who's the other wrestler that's been in stuff lately?
Oh, Dave Bautista.
Is Bautista Reacher?
No, it is the guy who has done the comic book stuff.
Blue Mountain State?
The quarterback from Boop.
Yeah.
Was he the quarterback?
Thad Castle. No, he was a middle linebacker.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen it, but I've actually heard good things about it.
It's a
comedy, right?
Show, yeah.
Yeah, if you like violence and a guy just beating
the hell out of people. See, I don't care about action stuff that
okay.
much.
It's a whodunit type thing, and he's kind of a detective, but he does kill people a lot.
I'm watching Severance right now, and I think we got actually Zion is on the air. So we come back, I'll be shocked if it's not him, but when we come back, I think it's going to be the highly punctual Zion Johnson, guard from Boston College, who might be a Houston Texan.
Does he have an Instagram post about his future that we can
discuss? I don't think so. He's a 300-pounder who is a former high school
Laramie
golfer.
Laramie Tunsil?
Former golfer. Laramie does do that. 743 right here on the bench. We come back, Zion Johnson, who could be a future Texan. You better listen in. I want to tell you about your future. Your future is going to involve a delicious plate of wings and some of the fries, maybe sweet potato fries, over maybe some onion rings over at Jack's Grill. There's three different Jack's Grills in the Houston area, and we love them. My son Sebastian, he's going to get their wings. That is a guarantee every single birthday. That's just what he does. He gets the wings. He gets about five things of ranch, and it's on from there. Now, here's something else that you need to know. Jack's has amazing burgers and chicken sandwiches. They've got a lot of the quesadillas, the white queso. I'm talking about good old-fashioned Americana comfort food is available for you with TVs all over the place. You can watch your favorite games. You bring the kids in there after a practice. You and the wife or you and your buddies at lunch, you and your buddies at dinner having beers and eating some delicious food, watching games. That's what I'm talking about at Jack's Grill. It's a spot where you can go get that little slice of Americana when it comes to – when I say Americana, I also mean quesadillas, obviously, and nachos. So make sure that you enjoy a great plate of food over at Jack's Grill. You can find your Jack's Grill locations at jacksgrillhouston.com. That's jacksgrillhouston.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
.747. Right here on the bench. And now, listen, you know, you guys know I do radio, but then I also do the NFL draft profiles for NFL.com. I'm head of the combine and going to be doing digital shows, pregame shows on the digital side. So at NFL.com, you can see the pregame combine stuff. It'll be me and Bucky Brooks and Matt Money Smith. So if you want to check us out, you can certainly do that. One of the guys who's going to be at the combine and a guy who is at the Senior Bowl, a guy who I've written up from Boston College. I actually wrote up his scouting report last year because I thought he was coming out. He went back to school, so I had to tighten it up, and his grade went up substantially from last year. I don't know if substantially, but it definitely went up when I got to see him at guard instead of tackle. And I bring him on because he could be a Houston Texan. If he falls into the second round, the Houston Texans have an early pick in the second round, and this is a guy that I would 100% endorse as a Houston Texan, and that would be Zion Johnson. He is a guard from Boston College. And first of all, thanks so much for waking up early and doing the show with us, Zion. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's no problem at all.
Can I say something
first? Yeah, go ahead.
I would say Zion will like me more because I know his former O-line coach is in Miami, and I think he should be a first-round pick and not fall to the second round.
Where would you like for him to go, Miami fan?
29th overall to the Dolphins.
To the Miami Dolphins. Would you be okay with that, Zion?
I would just like to get drafted. I'd be grateful wherever I go.
Well, let's talk about your background. You have a very interesting background. I'm sure we're going to do some pieces on it on NFL Network. When did you start playing football? We hear about people getting late starts, but why don't you tell people about your athletic background and how you got started?
So early on in high school, I of course, didn't play football. I started playing football during my junior year of high school. Before that, I played golf. Never played football until that junior year. And then after that, you know, I was undersized in high school, about 225 pounds, playing right tackle. So, of course, I struggled early on in high school, but, I ended up starting my whole senior year and then had the ability to go to Davidson College.
Yeah, and so your background's interesting because I'm sure everyone thought, just like I initially thought, that you were some 260-pound kid who everyone said, why are you not playing football? You should be playing football. But you were 225. Number one, were you any good at golf?
Oh, I was pretty good. I was the number one on my team. So, and I played on that team since middle school. So, you know, I definitely was – that was good, I'd say.
I have to ask you this. I always look for, like, if I'm looking at safeties, I want to see if they have a baseball background in the outfield because they track the ball better. Offensive linemen, you know, I look for basketball backgrounds. Is there anything that you can take from your golf background that you say, you know what, this actually helped translate to the football field?
I mean, the one thing I'll say is golf is really a frustrating game.
Right.
It's a game that tests your – I would say your mentality and how consistent you are, how dedicated you are, because you'll have some days where, you know, you're playing well, everything's going right, and you'll have other days where everything's just off and you're not playing your game. And that's really analogous to a lot of other sports. And if you have the ability to, you know, stay calm, stay composed, keep working, and, you know, if you're in a rut, work yourself out of it, then that'll translate into anything.
Zion, you mentioned your time at Davidson. You transferred to Boston College. That was before the transfer portal and everything going on there. But what went into the decision? I know you. We think, okay, that's a great player. Let's see what he does. From the outside, we go, what can he do at a different level? Was that a difficult decision to leave Davidson, or was it actually pretty easy?
I think the end-all, be-all for me is I wasn't on full scholarship, and I wanted to try to go somewhere where I could, you know, alleviate the financial strain on my family. And when I went in the portal and the Boston College reached out to me, I mean, that was a no-brainer for me. With his reputation as, you know, a school of producing offensive linemen, and then Coach Feltwine being there, a coach that, you know, I had been near my freshman year at Davidson, it just made sense.
There's so many more. So I write up 500 prospects a year. I'm up to like 300, and I'm close to 330 right now. And I'm really, I shouldn't say amazed, that's maybe a little hyperbole, but I'm kind of surprised at how many of the players I'm writing up are considered quote-unquote super seniors, and how many of them are six-year players who not only had a redshirt year but also took advantage of college football's offer for players to take on their additional year of eligibility and scholarship without any kind of penalty. How beneficial was that for you? I know on tape for me studying you, I thought it was definitely beneficial. But as a player, how beneficial was it for you psychologically, mentally, from a school standpoint, from a football standpoint, getting that extra year in college?
I mean, it was definitely beneficial. From a school standpoint, I was able to get a master's degree, which, you know, I'll have for the rest of my life.
Did you get that in cybersecurity?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, cybersecurity master's. But from a football perspective, I would say, you know, personally, the way that the 2020 season ended for me and our team, you know, we felt like we had unfinished business. Like there were lots of games that, you know, we were in, very competitive games that we could have won. And we felt like, you know, the next year we would have the ability to compete at a higher level and possibly go reach heights that we hadn't in a long time. And that was really the thing for me. You know, I felt like our team was talented, and if I had the ability to come back another year, we maybe could do something special.
You went to school at Davidson, which is in North Carolina. Then you went to Boston College, which obviously is Northeast. Would you be able to handle the summers in Houston? Now, keep in mind, we've got a retractable roof stadium, which is always closed.
And there's an indoor
facility. So it's always nice. There's an indoor facility, kind of. It's deflated right now.
But
would you be able to handle humidity and heat if you're drafted by the Houston Texans? We have very mild winters for the most part.
I mean, of course, most of my family's from Florida, so
for the Dolphins.
I'm pretty used to that.
Oh, well, if you're used to Florida, it's the same, basically the same
thing.
Since
we're just
really humid.
Since we're asking environmental questions, what do you think about barbecue and Tex-Mex?
Yeah.
But wait, what was the second one? Barbecue and...
So Tex-Mex, it's a Mexican food that has more flavor, basically. It's a better version of Mexican food. Tex-Mex. It's just the truth, Del.
Okay.
Do you like Mexican food? Do you like barbecue? That's the bottom line.
I mean, I like both, of course.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I've had Tex-Mex specifically.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I like Mexican food. I like barbecue. You know, especially when it's barbecue, like in the backyard on the grill. That's always good.
Well, do you know you're talking to a pit master? Not me.
Right here.
But Lance has the official title of
it's
pit master.
It's true. It is. Ooh. It is true. So if you come to Houston, whether they trade into the first, whether they trade back and draft you, or whether you slide into the second, I will hook you up with some ribs. We'll do steaks from Pete's Fine Meats. You got the hook up on this show. Now, you know, my dad's a former NFL offensive line coach, so I could geek out on offensive line stuff with you all day long, zone scheme stuff, gap scheme stuff. I'm curious, based on your master's degree, which is in cybersecurity, is there anything that we can do from keeping foreign intelligence groups from infiltrating things that we want to keep private with our cybersecurity? Can we stop these, what are the hacking that's, the ransomware stuff that's been hitting us here recently, or hitting certain companies? Is that something that can we can ever get in front of?
Well, there's no such thing as a fully secure system. There's always, you know, a way for someone to intrude on it. But what you can do is mitigate the risk. Try to do the most you can to lower the percent chance of having an intruder on your system. I would say in terms of ransomware, the thing I learned the most is people lots of times tend to look at, you know, external threats, you know, hackers, foreign nations. But a big thing is internal threats, you know, and whether that be on purpose or on accident, because we talk a lot about, you know, employees that work for a business. They need to go through training. They need to know, you know, not to click on, you know, phishing links and or do certain things that jeopardize the data of their company. So, you know, if you can take care of internal risk by through training, through filtering emails, through those sorts of things, that could greatly mitigate your risk as well.
I dare you to find another draft prospect who's got the potential to go in the first round who can hit you with cybersecurity answers and can also stick a 215-foot, 215-foot, I don't know, what are you using for now? You're using about a 6? What are you, using about a 7 on a 215? Par 3?
Can you say that again?
A 215-yard, not foot, a 215-yard par 3. What are you, what's your club are you grabbing?
I haven't played in a while. But, I don't know. I'd probably grab something higher, like maybe like a 5-iron, and then maybe just choke down on my swing a bit.
Yeah, there you go. I bet you're not going to find another first rounder who can stick one about 10 feet from the pin. And maybe I'm not even talking to one. Zion said he hadn't played for a while, so he probably can't stick a 10 feet from the pin either right now. But a very diverse and interesting guy, a very good football player, by the way. And someone who I think is going to have a long career in the NFL. Zion, thanks for waking up. Thanks for doing this. And thanks for introducing yourself to the city of Houston. Hopefully we're having some barbecue and some steak at some point here in Houston.
Thank you. Glad to be on.
All right. That's Zion Johnson, guy who I was very interested in getting on because I think he's first and foremost, he's a good football player. So that was that's good that he made the time to get up. And by the way, finding prospects who will get up and do a show at 7:45, a lot of times they need to have master's degrees, because I can promise you this, I don't have a master's and I for sure wouldn't do it. I know you wouldn't, Dell.
I am doing it. What are you talking about?
Keychains, but
I'm doing it right now. What do you mean I wouldn't do it?
Yeah, but not if you're a prospect with if you had better prospects than you have right now, you wouldn't do it.
Yeah, my prospects are pretty low.
There you go. 7:59 right now. Your prospects are very high if you're having Texas Custom Patios come out and frame up your backyard area where they're going to start building the patio. Let me tell you how it happens. Once you've agreed to do this and you do payments in different installments, like I think it's 3 or 4 different payments if you want to do it all at once with cash. They can do financing. But what happens is they frame out the area, and then they get going very, very quickly. And before you know it, you can see what looks like the more than just the beginnings of a new patio, and you get really, really excited. Then it takes a little time after that, because getting the pieces in place from there, fine-tuning it, pulling the getting the permits and everything, because they do everything the right way, it starts to take a little bit more time. It doesn't take long. But it happens so quickly that you get excited very, very quickly. Knowing that you're going to be able to host parties over at your patio, that you're going to have your boys come over and watch games on Sunday, on Saturday, baseball games, World Cup coming up, whatever it is that you want to watch, knowing there's a place for you and your kids to go outside and have pizza and enjoy yourselves, or go out and barbecue on your grill that's out there, your flat top that you have installed. That's what Texas Custom Patios does for you. It really changes the game. I want you to go to the website and start envisioning yourself. This is your vision board. Go look at their before and after pictures, and I think you'll really get excited about what your house could look like. Go to TexasCustomPatios.com. That's TexasCustomPatios.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.